God of the turnaround. He rewrites what has been written and gives us vantages of grace. Vantages of grace. Vantages means a new perspective of grace. Reading from Genesis 50 and 20, where Joseph says to his brothers, "As for you, you meant to harm me, but God intended it for a good purpose, so he could preserve the lives of many people, as you can see on this day." I love the way that translation says it, "but God intended it for a good purpose." Someone say, a good purpose. Anything that comes into our life, God intends for a good purpose. Then reading from Genesis 41 and 50, "During this time before the famine, two sons were born to Joseph and his wife. Joseph named his first son, his oldest son, Manasseh." Everyone say Manasseh. "For God has made me forget all my troubles." How many would like a Manasseh moment? Come on. He said, "For God has made me to forget all my troubles." Then Joseph named his second son Ephraim. Everyone say Ephraim. "For God has made me fruitful in the land of my misfortune, in the land of my sorrow, in the land of my affliction." The God of the turnaround can take any misfortune, any sorrow, any trouble, and turn it around until you see fruitfulness from the very things you thought would take you out. Can I get an amen? Someone give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this Sunday morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would speak to my brothers and sisters, even what I do not say. Whisper into their heart and their ears, and whisper into the listeners of this podcast, Lord. May your word go forth and bring a mighty harvest in the name of Jesus to the glory of God. And the church said, amen. Psalms 118:23 says, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Don't you love the word marvelous? Everyone say marvelous. He's the God of the turnaround. And what that means, that word in Hebrew, turn, is found in Psalms 30:11 with many other places in scripture where it says, "He has turned my mourning into dancing." What I love about that, it doesn't mean he had to trade my mourning for dancing. It doesn't mean he had to do an exchange. It meant he got into the middle of that which caused me pain, and out of it came rejoicing. Come on, somebody. In Hebrew, hapak, it means to turn, to convert, to change. It's frequently used in connectivity with the acts of God, meaning God is the only ultimate one that can turn it. In sports, if you have a turnaround, it's to reverse the expected outcome from losing to winning. Can I get an amen? It means the act of turning in a direct or opposite direction. It means God is the God of turnaround. And Joseph, whose life I shall not speak, but I shall speak on what those two sons' names meant and how it applies to you and I where we are today. Is anybody ready to have your hope encouraged? He is the turnaround God. He returns what innocence has been stolen to us. He returns the years that were taken by things in our life. He causes us to forget as his goodness washes over us. He rewrites what has been written about us, because nothing is wasted in the hands of a turnaround God. No pain, no sorrow, no rejection, no loss, no trouble, no shame. He can turn it if you and I will let go of it and say, "God, I'll let you take it from here." Someone say amen. Say, "God, I'll let you take it from here," and trade it for vantages of grace. My pain for someone else's healing. What I've gone through to bring joy to someone else. I declare today a new season, a new freedom, a new moment of Manasseh and Ephraim in your life. A moment where God takes something and makes it better than it was. A turnaround. It's a powerful statement when Joseph said, "My God has made me to forget." This was not a simple thing if you know his story. I can't retell it, but it's in the book of Genesis. But it's similar to your story. you story. It starts out with you. It starts out with you. I have a friend from Illinois this morning, and I told her I'm glad to be a Southerner. She might want me to return to Illinois so I can speak Northern. But long before you knew God, God loved you when you came into the earth, just like Joseph. And the God of all creation clothed you in his glory and waited for the moment that you would come to know him. But just like Joseph, life happened. Can I get an amen? Rejection happened. Pain happened. Trouble came. It comes in this fallen world. Pain, friends, family maybe brought it. And all of a sudden, we find that we, like Joseph, hit some ways that we went by the wilderness. Anywhere went by the way of the wilderness. He was betrayed by his brothers. The only time I'm going to retell his story. He was sold into slavery. His family, who should have loved him, hated him. He was falsely accused, put in the pit, put in prison, and then after a miracle of 13 years in prison, set free and put at the right hand of Pharaoh. I love that God is the God of the turnaround that can rewrite what has been written about you and I. He can rewrite what's been written about our family. He can rewrite what has been written about our children. He can rewrite what has been written about our nation. God is the God of the turnaround. Nothing is impossible with him. Hallelujah. But I love that anyone looking on at Joseph reminds me of one of my favorite stories that's true about Hollywood. A friend of mine, Devon Franklin, talks about it in his book. I only know him through Daystar. But at any rate, he talks about this thing called development hell, you probably remember, where people work on scripts and they work so hard, they pay a lot of money, and then they just put it in turnaround and they say, I don't see anything in this story. And it sits there after money has been spent. It sits there in turnaround and says nothing will come out of this until someone walks by one day and says, well, I think I see something in that script. Universal picks it up. MGM picks up another. I see something in this. The incredible thing, some of the greatest movies of our time were put in what's called development hell and turn around. You ever been there? When no one saw what God was doing in your life, when no one gave a nickel, a penny, or a dime on what God could do through you, but then the Lord Jesus picked you up out of turnaround and set your feet on a rock and put a new song in your mouth, and many saw and gave him praise. Hallelujah. In case you've never heard of it, three of the major, not all of them, that was put into turnaround, and I know the people that put them there are regretting, didn't hate themselves so badly today. Forrest Gump was put there. Billions of dollars it has made. The Lord of the Rings trilogy, millions of dollars. And if that's not bad enough, someone said there's nothing to this little Star Wars plot. Come on, somebody. Don't you love it? You and I need to be the people that say we want to see people in turnaround and see what God can do with their life. We want to be like Universal or MGM and say, you know what? I see something in that man of God. I see something in that woman. Can you say amen this morning? And God made him forget his troubles. And the thing about it is this morning that only God can. The facts are you may be sitting in this congregation this morning with 20/20 vision, either by way of contacts, glasses, magnifying glass, or whatever you got, and you got 20/20. You may be sitting here today with a temperature of 98.6, perfect blood pressure, 120 already. I get so excited when I hit 120 over 80 because I have low blood pressure. Not bad, but they always say, do you run? Are you an athlete? Yes, sort of. Anyway, but at any rate, but you may be sitting here with a perfect blood pressure, and you could have an x-ray, and they would say there's no abnormality inside of you, but still, we're in here in the prison of yesterday, where the jailer is memory, and every day he pulls the same old files. Can I get a witness? He reaches and rereads the same story, name, face, and incident, and says it to you, and down you go under the hammer of guilt, shame, and bitterness. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Someone give Jesus a hand clap of praise. I press forward. Forgetting and forgiving cannot be divided. We see Joseph forgiving, and we see Joseph not bringing it back up. And the truth of it is, sometimes we can forgive what others did to us, but we have a hard time forgiving what we did. What we did. Dr. R.T. Kendall, one of my mentors that I've also been able to meet through Daystar, has written so many books on that, on how to totally forgive yourself, how to totally forgive others. But one thing he says in there, don't keep bringing it up on the anniversary of what you did wrong. Don't keep bringing it up to people. If it's your children, don't keep bringing it up to them. If it's your spouse, don't keep bringing it up to them. We don't have to make an anniversary of the things that went wrong. We need to start making an anniversary of the things that went right. Can I get an amen? Someone give God a praise. So your spouse won't give you that elbow. But Isaiah 43 and 25 says something, because often we say, if I were God, I wouldn't forgive me. Anybody else said that? I wouldn't forgive me. But God says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again. We, like Joseph, need a Manasseh moment when we not only need a good memory, but we need a good forgettery. Come on. My husband had a famous sermon that went all over the world called The Usury of Forgettery. I had it on my desk. I couldn't preach it because it's not mine, but he entitled it The Usury of Forgettery. Sometimes we carve in stone and concrete all of our failures and all of our sins, but we carve in the sand our blessings, and the water washes them away. We need to start carving in concrete. We need to start speaking with our mouth and thinking with our mind of all the blessings that the Lord has given us, and say, thank you, Lord, for helping me to forget those things I did or was done to me. Someone say amen. Just think, Joseph could have named his children. This will get a little clear here in a moment. He could have named his firstborn son the pit. Because I spent many years there, and everybody's going to know about it. Come here, you little pit. Why'd you call him pit? Oh, I'm going to tell you why I called him pit. My old half-brothers threw me down there like a slave. And the next child he called prison. This is pit in prison. Why are you calling him prison? Because I was falsely accused and put in prison for 13 years. But Joseph knew the power of what you name things. Thank God he didn't name his children rejection. He didn't name his children betrayal. And you and I need to remember, you can't choose what comes into your life, but you can choose what you call it. You can choose what you name it. I think where he learned this is in Genesis 35. Don't have to turn there. Because his father was married to beautiful Rachel, his parents. And he was the only child. And Rachel, in birthing the second child, was dying in childbirth. And with her last breath, the midwife said, what do you want to name him? Said, name him Benoni, son of my sorrow. She named him out of her sorrow. But Jacob, the father, stepped in and said, no, I've already lost Rachel. I'm not going to let this son bear the name of son of my sorrow. I'm thankful today that we are not to name seasons and days after the things we've gone through. Pain is temporary. It is fleeting. We need to be careful what we name it. We're not in denial, but we need to name it for what God will turn it and what it will become. Someone praise him this morning. He refused to name the child according to that destiny. In the Old Testament, the father had to sign off for the name. Well, in this day and age, your heavenly father has to sign off on the names that are given and you give. People may recommend names for you, but ultimately your heavenly father chooses what you should be called. And he does not call you worthless. He does not call you a procrastinator. He does not call you a loser. He does not call you a coward. He does not call you a failure. He calls you children of the Most High God. And it's time that we walk in that and live in that. Maybe our hurt perceives that others are giving us that name and they're recommending names for us. We better refuse the recommendation from our own flesh and our own mind, and we better tap into what the Word of God says about us, because your heavenly Father has the last word. Somebody give him a praise this morning. When you're an inventor, you get to name what you invented. Well, you did not make yourself. God made you. He created you in your mother's womb regardless. I remember when I was divorced and going to Lee University, before I even went to Lee, it was the summer before. If you missed that part of the story, I remarried my husband 3 years later. He went to heaven almost three years ago. But at any rate, there was a young man. He was a son of a preacher man. Anyway, okay. And he liked me and said, come down to Alabama camp meeting. It was before school started in the fall, and I was still in that in-between vulnerable stage. And he says to me, he's tall, dark, handsome, not as handsome as the man I married, take that. But anyway, he said, hey, I'll see you after the big camp meeting because I'm going to be with preachers and you're divorced and I can't be seen with you. But when this service is over, I'll meet you behind the tabernacle. And we'll go have a Coke. I was so low. I've told this on international television. I was so low. And I was so insecure as who I was. I actually agreed to such a stupid, demonic agreement. Come on. And another minister by the name of Ray Looney, dear friend, and I remind him of this. We're at a mutual wedding recently. He came up to me. And Ray at that time was not known for wisdom. He wasn't. He even laughed. He walked up to me, and somehow he heard about it. And he picked up my hand. He said, your daddy used to be the state youth director of this state. Your daddy, you lived in that parsonage down the road, and you're letting one of my friends tell you that you're such a piece of used goods. He doesn't want to be seen with you because he can't get a revival if he's seen you with a divorced person. Come on now. He said, you have forgotten who you are. And something triggered in my mind that night, and I told that man whose name is blank blank, I told him, I said, I'll not be meeting you in the backyard. I'll not be meeting you in the front yard. In fact, I'll wipe the dust of your hair off of my feet, and I won't be seen with you. Okay, I didn't say it exactly like that, but that's how I would say it today. And I'll tell you at the end of this how the Lord put that man sitting underneath my husband and I ministering. And I feel bad for him. I'm sorry that he was so caught in religion. I'm sure God did great things in his life, but I want to tell you today, don't let other people name you. Don't let your mind name you. Don't let the world name you. Don't let what you went through in your childhood trauma name you. Don't let the opinions of others name you or your flesh. We don't get to choose everything that comes in our life, but we get to choose what we call it. So this is what I suggest to you today. Call what you've gone through that which strengthened me, that which made me more determined, that which made me forgive more, that which was a part of my journey, that which was a lesson, that thing which gave me compassion, that thing which caused me not to overlook the forgotten. Because I'm going to tell you that all those things I listed today are a result of the times I walked through the wilderness and walked through trouble. And when you come out on the other side, you will name it differently. So let's get ahead and call it blessed right now. Come on, somebody. Let's call it blessed right now. This is what Jacob said. I'm going to call him Benjamin. He will be the son of my right hand. He will not be a son of sorrow. Jacob's facing loss and pain, Joseph's father. He's facing struggle and despair. But he said, you know, one day God changed my name from trickster to prince. And today I'm going to change this baby's name. It's time that you and I, when those thoughts assail you, they assail me too, being 62 and ordained for 40 years, doesn't change that I have to say back to my own flesh and say back to my own mind and say back to my own doubters and my own haters and my own brain, not out there. You are not what you went through. You are a child of the Most High God. You are anointed for this season. You are prepared. I wish I had somebody that would praise him this morning. And I love that Romans 8:28 wouldn't say that God would cause all things to work for our good if all things weren't good, and all things are not good, but he uses them. We need to have midwives in our life and be midwives to others, because a midwife said to Jacob, Joseph's father, as Benjamin came into the earth, don't despair, don't despair, don't despair. You have another son. We need to be like the midwives and say to people going through trouble, don't you dare give up right now. Don't you dare back up. God's going to bring something great and beautiful out of this rejection. God is going to bring something mighty out of this trial. Don't you know that great strength comes from sorrow and struggle. And if it were not for my struggle, I would not know his strength. Hallelujah. A famous study was done by Victor Gortzel called Cradles of Eminence. It studied 300 highly successful people such as Franklin Roosevelt, Helen Keller, Winston Churchill, Albert Schweitzer, Clara Barton, and Einstein, to name a few. This is what they discovered. 75% of these folks were children who were deeply troubled by either poverty, broken home, trauma, rejected, or overpossessive, dominating parents. 74 of the 85 writers of fiction or drama, 16 of the 20 poets came from home where as children they saw tense psychological drama being played out. 25 of these folks percent were characterized by physical handicaps such as blindness, deafness, or crippled limbs. What's your excuse? What's mine? They did not let their handicaps keep them from achieving their goals, but rather they let their weaknesses push them to greater strength. Here's my research. The Hebrew word for pain is etzef, and the Hebrew word for creativity is the same word, itself. Your pain in your life is where your creativity will be birthed. Don't deny the pain. Push into the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just think, if he had gone and kept his name as son of my sorrow, we would not have this tribe of Benjamin that the Bible says was a small tribe, because Benjamin became a tribe. We wouldn't have the tribe that it says most the greatest warriors were produced from the tribe of Benjamin. Their symbol was the wolf. One of my, Steve Parker, his daughter is a worship leader. She has a wolf tattoo all the way up her arm because she claims, "I'm a tribe of Benjamin." I love it. There's tattoos everywhere. You'd think they're our sister church. But anyway, she lifts that hand and see that wolf as she leads worship saying, "I am a warrior." If he had named son of my suffering, son of my sorrow, like Rachel named him in her moment, and we understand her moment, we would not have a warring tribe. And one of the greatest warriors of all time, the Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, came from the tribe of Benjamin, because one man said, "I'm not going to call it what I feel. I'm not going to call it what I'm going through. I'm going to call it blessed, because when the Lord turns it around, that's what it's going to be." Somebody give him a shout of praise. Look at your neighbor and say, "She will calm down. She will calm down. She will." He named his first son Manasseh. "God has caused me to forget. This is what I say to you before we move to Ephraim." God blessed him in such a way that he was so fulfilled by the goodness of God. This is a word. This is a word. That he didn't live bitter. He didn't have time to be angry that for 16 years he did not see his daddy. For 16 years, he did not see Benjamin. He missed birthdays, anniversaries, Thanksgiving, Christmas. But when God moved on his behalf and the goodness of God began to roll over him, he was overwhelmed by the goodness. And he said, "God has caused me to forget." Anybody need a Manasseh moment? You may have gone through situations that aren't fair. You may be going through them. Maybe a dream died, a marriage, a lost loved one. And things whisper and say, "It's not going to change." But God can and God will, to everyone that is willing, to bless you in such a way that you barely remember the pain. Can I get an amen? When you see what all he's done for you, it's hard to not think about what went wrong. You wake up, the heartache is there. You go to bed, the heaviness is there. You feel that from what you've lost, what you don't have, the sickness you may be dealing with. But all of these things God can cause you to forget when you see what the turnaround God is going to do. When you see the season changing, you'll wake up overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Someone give the Lord a praise in this house, because Isaiah 61 and 7 says to you, take it, because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of content. Your inheritance in the land will be doubled. Someone say doubled, which means two mercies for every woe. It says to you this morning, your trouble does not have the final say. Your sickness does not have the final say. Your loss, your betrayal, what Joseph was saying, "They stole 16 years from me." But when God turned it around, the peace and the joy and the glory was beyond anything I could imagine. And God caused me
to forget. God will give double joy, double peace, double influence, double fulfillment. The pain is temporary, but the joy will go on forever. Hallelujah this morning.
You don't wake up anymore thinking of all of that. You wake up thinking about how blessed I am. And when you start calling something different, even in the midst of it, you say, I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Right now, it does not look like what I want it to look, and my heart is heavy. But I bless you, and I call this a blessed season, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I may be rejected by some or protected by others, but I thank you for the favor. I'm not going to dwell on it anymore. I thank you, like Brandon Lake sings, I'm clothed in many colors that you gave me. I'm held in the arms of a loving father. I was once in a pit, but now I'm walking in the palace. I was once a beggar, but now I'm in the king's house, because red was the blood that saved me. White was the light that pulled me from the dark, and gold was the crown. But I gave you my heart, and you turned it all around. If you're believing for a turnaround, give him a praise this morning. Hallelujah. And watch this, so beautiful to encourage you as we move on to Ephraim. Joseph was told in 48 chapter of Genesis, your father is ill. So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. When Jacob, his name was changed to Israel, but I'll say Jacob. When Jacob saw the sons of Joseph, listen to this. He said, who are these? Who are these? Who are these? And his son says, Daddy, they're the sons God has given me here. There's a verse in scripture that says that you will say, as the Lord enlarges your tent, the book of Isaiah, on into the book of Ezekiel, you will say, when I bring the harvest home, who bore me all these children? Where did all these prodigals come from? And the Lord will say, I merely blew my whistle and they came home. Anybody believing with me for the whistle of God to be blown and prodigals to come from the east, the west, the north, and the south? Give him the best praise if you believe it this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And this is what Jacob said to Joseph. Listen, I never expected to see your face again. I thought you were dead. It's been 16 years. I've missed every one of your birthdays. I've missed every one of your special moments. I never thought I would see you again. I believe the Lord is preparing, by the Spirit of the Lord, I heard him say last night, some moments that are going to blow you away and what you did not expect to happen. Someone say amen. And he said, I never expected to see your face again. And now God has allowed me to see your children too. You see, to every Jacob in this room, you may have given up. You may have think it's going to take too long. But God begins to say to us, I am the God of the turnaround. I am the God that can do the unexpected. What you never expected you would see anymore, you better get ready to see what I, the Lord, will do. Hallelujah. 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 Someone praise him just one time. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, you work as Pastor Rhonda. I know I do. You go home and you sleep after service, okay? Then the Bible says, and Joseph named his second son Ephraim. Remember, you can call it whatever you want. And he named the first child, God has caused me to forget my trouble, my pain. But the second he named Ephraim, God has made me fruitful in the land of my sorrow. There's a moment when you figure out that God can take your sorrow or your misfortune and turn it into something good. There's a moment when you realize what I went through, I'm now starting to see some glory from it. Anybody with me? What I endured, or my stream of addiction, or the years I wandered away from God, I'm now seeing that the Lord is using this. And this is the magnificent thing. Those boys' mother was a daughter of an Egyptian priest who worshiped false gods. Look it up. But God, you would think God would say, I'm not going to have anything to do with those boys. No, I'm only going to bless a family who blesses me and worships me. I'm going to lift my hands. Only those people I'm going to bless. But God does not disqualify you or the ones that you love because of how you were raised. You may come from a family that didn't honor God, a lot of compromise, a dysfunction. But God says to you and I what he said to Manasseh and Ephraim, I'm adopting you as children of the Most High God, and this
is the time that you can bring a new generational blessing to your children and to your children's children. Someone say hallelujah. Josh, come help me. Not quite done. If you'll just come by yourself for a moment. But this is what I love. After the pit and the prison, he declares, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. God will not waste a thing. Nothing in your life will be wasted by God. Your greatest disappointment, it's hard to believe. And in the midst of it, you could have never convinced me that as well. That in the moment of the greatest trial, the greatest thing, the greatest relapse 15, 20 times. We don't care if you relapse 170,000 times. You are welcomed here. Can I get a God bless you? You are welcomed here. God can take the loss, the sorrow, the failure. We couldn't see how any of that, even in Joseph's life or our life, but then God steps in and he takes everything that you've gone through and he turns it for good. In your Ephraim season, in an Ephraim moment that you're believing for, and many of you are there right now, is where you start to see redemption for your pain. I'm sure Joseph looked back at the calendar, if he had one, and said, counted up how many birthdays when he was in prison, how many of his dad he missed, all the years of his homeland while he rotted in prison. But the Bible says God was with Joseph every step. And we know he held on to the goodness of God. John Bevere, my friend, says, when he could not see an ounce of the proof of the goodness of God, he held on. But then you see a moment when you start to see redemption for your pain. Joseph said to his brothers in that opening scripture, what you intended for evil, God meant for good and for the saving of many lives, for the purpose of saving many nations that you see here today. I want to tell you today that there are nations all around you this week. You work with them, you shop with them, you live with them, you're related to them. People who need your story, they need your purpose, they need to hear how your Ephraim now gave you empathy you didn't have, gave you wisdom for what you went through, the crushing places, the heartbreaking places, the places you could not imagine that God could do what God can do. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says he is the father of tender mercy. Someone say tender mercy. And the God of endless comfort, he comes alongside us and he comforts us so we can give the same comfort to others. You see your Ephraim moments when you say, I used to be an alcoholic. I can help you with this. I walked through a divorce. When our story hit Charisma, people flew in from all over the country to meet us. They just wanted to be in the presence of someone that had that kind of miracle story. When I go out and minister, the line afterwards of people walking through divorce goes all the way to the door and out. People will tell you, just, I've got to talk to you, Pastor Rhonda. I've got to talk to you. Because they know I've been there. But they know those things about you. You that have survived depression, poverty, illness, addiction, the loss of a loved one. God help us if we let go of the Ephraim moments when God wants to make you fruitful in the workplace, fruitful in the store, fruitful in the community where you share your story. It may be 2 minutes and all you've got to say is, God got me through what I didn't think I could have gotten through. Can I get an amen from somebody in the house this morning? So, so powerful. And before we end with some of your stories, and don't worry. Now you're all thinking, if she's going to randomly call people up to pray for the offering, I am not coming in until after transition. No, don't worry. I only pull up people that have preached. And Michael Cook has preached. Give Michael Cook a hand. But there was a moment that was so powerful. The firstborn blessing went to the firstborn, and Joseph brought his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, before Jacob. And it says Jacob's eyes were dim, and he was in his last days, and Joseph positioned them in the right place so that the right hand could go right on Manasseh's head, because that was the right hand of blessing, and the left hand could go on Ephraim's head. He did it perfectly. Then something so beautiful, you know that Joseph had been so tempered by the trial. It said he went on his face and bowed down as his daddy blessed. I don't know if you've ever had someone to bless you. I had my great-granddaddy
E.O. Whitley, who's a mighty man of God, prayed blessings over me when I was a child, and my other granddaddy. And that's powerful. But you know you have a heavenly Father who reaches out his right hand of blessing over you through Calvary. Someone say, I love you, Abba. I love you, Father. I love you. And he positioned him in such a way, but all of a sudden, Jacob does something that's so odd. Instead of doing this and this, the Bible says he crosses his arms and he gives the firstborn blessing to Ephraim. And he blesses Manasseh, but he crosses his arm. Do you know at Calvary, God crossed his arms and he took what was the firstborn blessing upon his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and he crossed his arms and he put the right hand of blessing upon every man and woman and child that would ever live and say, I'm going to give favor to those who do not deserve it. Your Ephraim moment says you're going to be positioned that you did not earn, qualified for that which you are not qualified. Your Ephraim moment says you're going to be fruitful because God crossed his arms for you. Someone say hallelujah to Jesus. God's going to cross his arms for you. In scripture, Gideon said, God, I'm the least in the family. I can't do this against the Midianites. I'm not able. I came from the poorest family. This is what I said to God my whole life. I'm the least of the siblings. They did everything years light ahead of me. And God said, I don't want to talk about your siblings. I want to talk about you. And God said to Gideon, I know who you are. I know you're not qualified, but I'm going to cross my arms and I'm going to take you from the background to the foreground. Come on, somebody. I'm going to give you influence and nobility you didn't have. Samson said, God, I know I'm not worthy. You gave me all this strength and I was led by temptation. And I'm here at the end of my life, blind and grinding meal. But God, please, one more time, show me your strength. And God said, Samson, I knew every mistake you would ever make and everything you would ever do. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to cross my arms and I'm going to bless you one more time. And Samson, you're going to bring down more Philistines than you ever did in your life. I love a God who can turn it around. Hallelujah. Somebody give him a shout. Maybe you have 1,000 reasons why God can't accomplish it in you. Maybe you say his arm is too short, but Isaiah 59:1 says his arm is not too short. God crossed his hands at Calvary. The interesting thing, Perry Stone was here, we'd let him talk about this for about 4 hours because it'd take me that long to understand probably everything. He's my buddy, Pammy, my bestie. But cross your hands, when he did, he opened way. Ephraim, reason he blessed him. It wasn't about the younger child getting the blessing, the older child. No, don't get that. Don't get that. It was about blessing Ephraim, who was the beginning of the Gentile nation. He put his hand on Ephraim saying, someday, the descendants, the multitude, and the word is in Hebrew, ha-goyim. It's Hebrew for Gentiles. When he said, there's a multitude of nations within you, Ephraim, he was saying, someday, my gospel will not just be for the country of Israel, but the cross will be preached from the uttermost parts of the earth, from the islands of the Pacific to the mountains of New Zealand, from the north to the south, from the ancient isles. My gospel will be preached, and the church of Jesus Christ exists today because of the blessing upon the nations. Somebody give him a shout of praise. I'll stay up here and I'll finish, and we'll have the other musicians come. We'll pray over you. See how merciful I'm being to you. It's 11:56 and I'm getting ready to close. I knew you needed a big lunch and a good nap. I love it when you see God cross his arms for people. Again, I was divorced going to Lee University, and I've got some other people's stories. And there was a certain denomination. They didn't do it, but someone in their denomination. I still cry about it. The fire doesn't hurt. When you forget, the fire doesn't hurt. But sometimes I just cry for that girl, that 18-year-old me, going down to the post office box with my friends, laughing. I had such favor with people and friends at Lee. My mama was at the right hand of the almighty dean of students. And at any rate, I'd go down there, and we'd all be laughing, open up our box, and I'd see it sitting in there. And it was a track from that denomination, highlighting that I was going to hell. because I was divorced. A divorce that I did not want. A divorce I never signed up for. Thank God he restored it. I remember slipping that track in my pocket. And my friends say, what'd you get in the mail? Oh, nothing. And I just like, oh God. I remember what that felt like. I remember godly young men, wonderful young men, would date me for a while, ministers, and say, so sorry, but I could never marry someone like you. You'd be a great preacher's wife, but you just aren't the goods. You're divorced, and our denomination frowns on that. That was another denomination. I remember all of that, and remember later finding out that people said to my parents, poor, pitiful Rhonda Giles. That was my maiden name. She had such hope. She was an administrator of the whole denomination's child. She was raised with the blessings of a great denomination, but now she's used goods, and she still says, I didn't find this out till later. Thank God hides some things from you. Can I get an amen? She says she wants to be in ministry, but there's just no way someone like her will nanny, nanny, boo-boo on you. All but God, all these things I didn't hear. I just love you, King Jesus. I just love you so much. You picked me up and you turned me around. Thank you, King Jesus. But after our miraculous restoration, Lord opened up so many doors. I found myself on the stage, not of the denomination that put the tracks in my box. I'll mention that in a moment. But of the Church of God, where my parents have been officials, some of the sweet people that just said, bless her heart, there's no hope for her. And I was invited to speak on their national stage by Dr. Paul Kamarlita Walker, legends in the Church of God. I stood before thousands of women and gave my testimony. They rushed to the altars, ministered for hours, and when I went to my room, my mama was my traveling companion for that trip. I just laid on my motel bed and wept till I couldn't breathe, because I said, Lord, in the land of sorrow, you have made me fruitful. You have made me to forget the stigma and the shame. Is anyone thankful for the turnaround, God, this morning? Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you. The other denomination, whose name I will not mention, because it wasn't them. It was just a person that belonged to that denomination. Don't blame big things over little people, okay? But they would put those tracks in my box. None of those ever convicted me, church. If you're going to leave a track at a restaurant, I was like 10 years a waitress, you better leave a $100 bill with it. But none of those tracks turned me back. What turned me back, Ryan, was when Holy Spirit came to me and said, I love you and I want to heal you. Amen. None of those words of condemnation ever convicted me, ever made me want to do that. But what turned my heart was when the Lord of glory came and said, I've seen wounds inside of you. I want to bind them up and heal them, Rhonda. I want to heal you of everything inside of you that you endured in your first marriage. I want to turn this around. He never told me he was leading me back to my precious husband, which was the greatest gift out of salvation ever. But he just said, I want to heal you. The Lord, the Bible says, the goodness of God brings us to repentance. But the other denomination, I'll just say this. I got a call. It's crazy how it worked out. But I ended up preaching on a stage in Australia to that denomination. Thousands in Gulf Shores, thousands in Ireland, thousands in Puerto Rico, thousands in Mississippi, thousands in California of women. I went all the way across the United States and other places with my friend who was in that denomination who never would have stood for the other thing. And I shared my story and my testimony in a place where someone, wrong meeting, had tried to condemn me. I want to tell you this morning, God will give you an Ephraim. And I remember weeping and saying, God, if I had ever written the script, I would have never thought to write this. And let me say to you this morning, if you see and when you see what God does, you will say to him as well, if I had written the script, I would have never thought to put that in. Only God does such amazing things. This is the Lord's doing, and it is awesome in our eyes and marvelous. Praise him. I'll tell a few stories. 1987, a little boy was left fatherless. His dad died from a terrible illness. I'm sure people said of him, he'll never amount to anything. He doesn't have a daddy. He came to our church, grew up, experienced some other pain from other men in and out of his family situation. I'm sure many thought he would never be anything. But today you will see him everywhere. He runs J103. He's at every football game, every basketball game, runs the media, did most of this setup here this morning. I give you this morning Austin Chadwick, right back there running the camera. He has become fruitful in the land of trouble. Somebody give the Lord praise. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. The late 1990s, a man moved from up north trying to be like Abraham to follow the call of God with his wife and one child. He came not knowing exactly why he came, but to go to Lee University. He came and he came to Church of the Harvest. He began in some ways as a janitor, a Sunday school teacher, but mostly he was the janitor for that beautiful building at Atkinson, and that's probably why it lasted so long. Then he began to do other ministry. Unfortunately, no fault of his own, his wife took his three children at that time and left him. I watched him hold his ground. I'm sure others said nothing good will ever come out of that. I watched him hold his faithfulness. I watched him hold his purpose. And today, he is Pastor Todd Haggard, the minister of ministries. He is fruitful in the land of his affliction. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Just two more. She was 13 years in active addiction. My spiritual daughter, who was a preacher, we knew something was terribly wrong. She was working seven states with felonies. My husband prayed a hedge of protection around her, and she found it when she walked into Silverdale prison. For 13 years, she had written her own prescription. She had felonies in seven states. But this church reached out to love her. This church, including Pastor and I, at the top of that list, drove her husband to work because they didn't have a car. They lost that. Drove their children. And please don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. We never hid them from the law. But while the law was working with her, if you've never encountered bounty hunters were out flashing lights in her house. And I would drive up in the morning to pick up her children thinking, God, help me. And picking those children would walk out and the bounty hunters would just wave, but they couldn't get to her. She was working with the law. She was working with paying off her fines. She was working on get out of it. But this church said, we believe someday your family is going to be more powerful than you can imagine. Today, she is celebrating 12 years and 9 days clean. Come on, somebody. Today, she is a successful businesswoman, and we have a picture of her this morning. Her name is Maggie Woods. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Well, I'll put a picture on Facebook, but she is an awesome. There she is. There she is. She is fruitful in the land of her affliction. Her children love her. Her husband still loves her. We walk through hell, but every fine has been paid. She's given her testimony from recovery to recovery and in many places at drug court because the Lord has said, I will give you an Ephraim.
Ephraim. I will make you fruitful in the land of affliction. Somebody give Jesus a shout of praise. One more and we're going to close. There was a preacher's son who had it all. Wonderful family. Three somewhat wonderful brothers. Wonderful dad and mom. I'm kidding. But he came to a point in his life that he lost everything. More money than you could ever count. His name, everything. For several different reasons. One of those, he went to bend his pain into alcohol and his brokenness into that. Until finally, one day, someone said, Manasseh and Ephraim to him, theoretically speaking, God's going to cause you to forget, and God's going to give you fruitfulness in the land of your affliction. And this man went to Peniel, and there at Peniel, the Lord spoke to him about who he would marry, and her name is Lisa. And today we have a story of the God of the turnaround. Michael Cook, would you please stand? And let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Stand all over this building. Hallelujah to the God of the turnaround. Hallelujah to the God who makes us fruitful in the land of our affliction. Hallelujah to the God who will cause us to forget. Somebody give him a praise in his house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say to you before we pray to you, pray for you, and pray to him. This. God is not done with your story. In Revelation 1, the writer says, and I saw him. I saw him, the faithful witness. All glory to King Jesus, who has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood. He has made us, his children, a kingdom of priests unto God. All glory and power to him forever and ever. And then he said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. And I'm not done with your story, I'll throw in. I am the one who is, who always was, and who will still to come. I am the Almighty One, and I am mighty to save. This morning, the Lord wants to encourage you. He is the God of the turnaround, and he is not done with you yet. Now give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone just thank him for everything he's brought you through just this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, people in this room have stories that would make mine look like nothing, Lord. Everyone in this room has a story that you're causing them to forget and making them fruitful in the land of their affliction. Because you are the turnaround God. Maybe many gave up on us, Lord, like they did on Rhonda Giles Davis. But they forgot who was watching us. They forgot who was writing the story, Lord. You are rewriting so many things of our story. Every one of us, Lord, will see the fruitfulness of what we went through. It may look different, but we'll see it. But we ask you to use us right now for your glory. Will you do that right now? With lifted hands or hand on your heart, Jesus, use me for your glory. Jesus, use my story. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here this morning, I don't want to embarrass you or call you up front, but you don't know Jesus as Lord. I don't want to move on unless I give you an opportunity. We will all repeat a prayer. You will not be embarrassed. But if you're here this morning and you just want to lift a hand and say, I want to come back to Christ or come to him, just lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. He knows. Everyone repeat after me. Dear Jesus, today I'm coming back to you. I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess I've wandered away from you. But today, I claim you as Lord. I claim you as Savior. And today is the first day of the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Can we give them a hand clap of praise?
God bless you. Thank you so much. If you prayed that prayer and you want to talk to one of the pastors, we're here for you. If you're here this morning and you're in the midst of something you really need a turnaround in, as the musicians would join Josh, and you want to come and be prayed for, everyone's going to come forth. If you would just take a stand and come up here, and people are going to surround you, pray for you. You need a turnaround right this morning. There's some situation in your life. You need God to turn it around right now, right now, right now. Would you give them an encouragement as they come? Would you give them an encouragement as they come? God bless them. God bless them. God bless them. God bless them. Amen. Amen. There's more than just one. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you. We worship you, God of the universe. You are mighty to save, mighty to save. We worship you, the God who turns around. In my affliction, you brought fruitfulness to abound. We lift our hands to you, King of glory, we surrender. Take everything in our life and use it for your good. We lift our heart in total surrender to say, Jesus, take what's mine and make it yours. Just begin to worship him. You make all things turn for the good. You make all things. Just come and stand in the altar. Turn for the good, church. Just come and stand in these altars just for a moment so you can pray with each other. You make all things turn for the good. You are the King of the ages, strong and mighty. Lord God of glory and might, we worship you, King of ages, Star of the morning, the Alpha and Omega. There is no one like you. We sing praises to the God of all the ages, who reverses, who rewrites, who makes all things new. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, God of glory, God of might. We worship you. Just reach over and put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you and begin to pray for them, or grab their hand, whatever that looks like. Pray for whatever in their life needs to be turned around. Pray for the fruit that needs to come out of their affliction. Pray for the ones they're praying for this morning, that their hearts would not be bitter, but that they would trust in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray for this hand. In the name of Jesus, I pray for this brother or sister. I thank you, Lord, that you can make them fruitful in the place of affliction. I thank you that you can bring good out of that which was intended for evil. I thank you for the blessing you gave at the cross when you chose us, when you crossed your arms and Jesus took the punishment, but we received a blessing. All glory and honor to you alone, Lord. Let us see the work that you would do in our life. Let us know the promise that better days are yet to come. Let us be filled with the hope that everything and anything that was intended for evil will be used for our good and for others. Just keep praying for that person. We magnify you, King of glory, healer and redeemer, restorer of the broken, divine intercessor. Jesus, we praise you. We magnify your name. You're the Lord of glory, strong and mighty, but you're the healer of our hearts. We speak your name over sickness. We declare your glory over pain. We worship.
worship you, Lord of glory. Forever your name be praised. You heal and you restore. You redeem and you equip. There is nothing you can't do. We worship you. When you're done, just begin to praise him. We bless the name of Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus. All glory to the King. All glory to the King. He is high and lifted up. He is full of glory and love. His compassion fills our heart. All praise to Jesus Christ. And glory to his name. Glory, glory, glory to his name. Glory, 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 glory to his name. I said glory, glory, glory. All glory to his name. I said glory, glory, glory. All glory to his name. He is high and lifted up. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lord strong and mighty, but tender with his touch. His name is high above every principality and power. His name is worshipped in this place. And we say, just say it with me, Jesus, Jesus. Just say it in this moment, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, King of glory, Jesus, we worship you. In this last moment, just lift your hand and worship him for what he's done in your life. And thank him. Only you know the places he's brought you through. Mighty King of glory, strong and glorious. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray that every word that has gone forth from your servant's mouth, and even what I didn't say, would take residence in your children. Lord, let them choose. They can't choose what comes to them, but they can choose what they call it. Some things don't look like a blessing right now. They don't feel like a blessing. Maybe we're mad and aggravated, but help us by faith to say, this will turn for a blessing. This will turn for my good. It may have been intended for evil, but it doesn't have the last word. It's temporary, but God has the last word. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. He is awesome, amen. Let's give him one more praise and I'll bless you. He is mighty.